Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wolfpacker Show. My name's Ethan McDowell, and I am joined, as I always am, by Noah Fleischman. And Noah, we have plenty to talk about today because what a game last night. NC State with a resounding 39-20 win over the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. It was rivalry day. It was a dominant showing by the Pack. Just, the past couple years had been thrilling finishes. Coming down to the final seconds of the game, NC State established it very early in this one that they were going to leave no room for doubt against the Tar Heels. They came out, scored on their first 8 offensive drives of the game, and just delivered just one of their most, maybe the most complete performance of their season so far this year. We're going to break all of it down. We're going to talk about some standout performances, what this win means for the program, what it means for their bowl schedule. But before we do that, a quick housekeeping note. We're both writers for thewolfpacker.com. That's NC State site on the NC State site on3.com. Go check it out for team news and analysis for men's and women's basketball and football during this crossover season, and recruiting, which is getting heated up real quickly now. It's going to be a busy month ahead. Signing day is less than a month away at this point. And we're going to break it all down. We're going to talk through all of it, the latest transfer portal news, everything concerning NC State football recruiting in and out of the portal, all on thewolfpacker.com. It is only $1 to subscribe to our website for premium access to our message board and all of these scoops that will keep you, make you the most informed Wolfpack fan in your friend group. All right, Noah, let's talk about it. We both thought NC State was going to win this game. I don't know if we thought they were going to absolutely run UNC out of Carter-Finley Stadium, because that's what happened. That's what happened Saturday night. I'll be honest, I thought it felt a little different when I got to the stadium. I thought there was just a buzz. It was intense. We showed up early for that game. We got there about 3 hours before kickoff, and it was just tailgate lots were packed. I went and sat there for the Walk of Champions, and it was like usually that whole brick path leading up to the Murphy Center is like open and there's a solid showing of fans. Like, they had security guards pushing people back from the path. It was people were fired up to be there. They were fired up to see their team. And it showed from the first snaps of the game that the team was just completely locked in. They channeled that energy into just the best execution I think we've seen from them, especially offensively so far this year. Noah, what did you think about the win overall and what you saw from the Wolfpack?
It was dominating. The score is a 19-point win, which is a big win in a game like this, and it could have been a lot more of a win if the offense continued its role. Eventually, it was going to run out, but 8 straight drives with points on the board, 4 field goals, 4 touchdowns. They didn't punt until almost the end of the third quarter. Hayden Unkester had a lot of time on the bench in the first half. But overall, I think it was a really good showing from NC State. 5 wins in a row now. During the bye week, ESPN gave it on their FPI, Football Power Index, gave NC State a 0.4% chance of winning out. They just did that. 0.4. That's coaching. That's execution. That's everything. And then Brennan Armstrong, I think, had his best game in an NC State uniform. 334 passing yards, 3 touchdowns. He only ran for 22 yards. And he's playing with, as Peyton Wilson put it, almost a broken rib. We don't know if it's broken. They didn't say. There's a good chance it might be, because he was in some pain a couple times taking a hit. He toughed it out. NC State doesn't really have a true backup quarterback at the moment, and he knows that. Played his best game in an NC State uniform, beats Carolina, and now NC State sits third in the conference. And I think if you ask me at Duke, after we watched them lose 24-3 and the offense do nothing, if I thought that NC State was going to finish third in conference, I don't think I would have believed you. But 5 wins later, here we are. And State's 9-3 and waiting for a big bowl bid, which we'll talk about later. But that'll be fun for them, and good way to end this season, on a high note, and at least in the regular season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you're looking at it, and UNC came into this one averaging over 500 yards of total offense. They led the ACC in passing and rushing offense. Let's go through the numbers here. They had 384 yards. For most teams, that's still a lot of yardage. For UNC, that's well below their average. NC State had 504. I mean, they were just executing at such a high level. I mean, you mentioned Brennan's stat line. I mean, what a game for him. If you had told me, even going into the game, okay, he's only going to be able to run for 22 yards, I would have been like, ooh, I don't know. I don't know about that. That would have made me a little nervous. But he was just slinging it. He was having just an awesome game through the air. And, I mean, Kevin Concepcion was a huge part of that. Career high, 7 catches, 131 yards, and 2 more touchdowns again. Noah, you've pointed it out that Kevin Concepcion has never scored just 1 touchdown in a game. That was a fun find by you while we were in the press box last night. He always scores multiple. So, he just keeps going. His freshman All-American season continues to build, and great game by him. And then on the other side of the ball, they were going up against Drake May, who I think, even the most homer Wolfpack fan will admit, Drake May is a good quarterback. And NC State held him to 254 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. NC State has done a great job frazzling some very good quarterbacks at Carter-Finley Stadium this year, whether that's Jack Plummer, whether that's Drake May, whether it's Cade Klubnik, Tyler Van Dyke, all of those guys. NC State really kind of shut them down, forced them into really uncharacteristic and poor mistakes. And that's just a testament to this defense. It's a testament to the atmosphere at Carter-Finley Stadium. And it was just an all-around awesome showing by the Wolfpack there. And then you got to, of course, point to the rushing defense as well, if you look at it. I mean, Drake May had 9 carries for 106 yards, especially later in the game when it was a little more like prevent stuff. He was able to get some chunk yardage on the ground and did have that one long 56-yard scamper. But other than that, I mean, Amarian Hampton, 9 carries for 28 yards. Noah, he's the ACC's leading rusher. It's the second time this year that they've shut down the ACC's leading rusher at that point. It's just it's hard to say enough about this team. And we'll get into some of the individual performances and give out our game balls in the second half of today's show. But just, I mean, look at that. And it's not like they weren't getting tested. It's not like the offense was putting together like super, super long sustained drives. But here's the play chart for UNC's first 5 drives here. 3 plays, 4 plays, 3-3-3. Nothing over 2 minutes. The defense not only shut them down, it did so in quick order as well, kept the defense fresh. So when UNC went on that run in the second and third quarters where they scored 3 straight times, it didn't really phase them. I never felt like things really got tense in the rivalry game. No, would you agree with that? And they never really felt close, even when UNC started to go on that little scoring run.
It didn't. I think, when NC State opens up on 8 straight, scores, it doesn't feel like it ever got close. I mean, you're right. Carolina did. There was a second where you're like, maybe Carolina can try. If they get one more score, maybe it starts to feel tense. And then NC State got an interception, and it caused, Peyton Wilson did Peyton Wilson things, and, took the momentum out of the game. And that from that point on, I was like, all right, this game's over. State's going to win. So that's a good thing to have. But, yeah, they did a great job at minimizing, a guy who could be the number one pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And now if you go and look at it, UNC finished the game 5 of 12 on third down. I believe they started some super low percentage. So they were getting off the field really well. And the main thing I think that really stood out to me, especially in these rivalry games, anyone watching this podcast probably watched plenty of football yesterday and during Thanksgiving week. But in these rivalry games, the emotions get so heightened, it's easy to kind of lose your head at points and get a personal foul penalty and play through the whistle a little too much. And, NC State, the intensity was there. Don't get me wrong. They were clearly motivated and excited to be playing this game, but they committed 0 personal foul penalties. It's just it was a great showing. It was a great discipline showing by the Pack. And, Dave Doran said it after the game. Not only did he want his team to play with emotion, controlled emotion, that is, keep stay composed, He wanted NC State to play kind of on the edge that, you know, kind of bait UNC into its own personal fouls. And that worked. I mean, they had nine penalties for 99 yards, including a late hit on KC on the sideline that was completely unnecessary. And then a roughing the passer penalty on Brennan Armstrong after one of the weirder plays we've seen in college football, where KC fumbled it out of bounds. And then, you know, that was all in the third quarter, where it was just that pretty much, I felt like, sealed it. It was, you know, NC State went down, scored again, and it was like, all right, that's probably it for this game. So just a good overall performance for the Pack, especially in a rivalry game. You know, hard to say much more. And NC State went 8-for-8 in the red zone, only allowed one sack. It's just, you know, we can name stats for days, but it's hard to overstate just how impressive of a win this was for NC State. Noah, every week, as you know, we like to give out our key moment of the game, just a turning point where we thought the game really swung either in NC State or its opponent's favor. This game, it's interesting. I'm excited to hear what you've picked for this one.
It's an interesting game, and I'm going to take NC State's first touchdown of the game. Go up 13-0. It was a 11-yard pass to KC. I think that was the biggest one because NC State had driven down the field in his first two drives but couldn't get points. First one, go 6 plays, 43 yards, field goal. Next one, they get a fumble, go 24 yards, field goal. Because, okay, like they need points because Drake May is going to be able to score a touchdown. Then they put together an 11-play, 83-yard drive that goes 5 minutes, 53 seconds, ending in a KC 11-yard touchdown reception from Brennan Armstrong. That's when I think this game turned, because then you put together another touchdown drive after that, go up 20-0. Then it gets to 23-0 before Carolina can score a touchdown. So I think that was the biggest thing. It made it a two-score game. And then after that, they just kept the train rolling. And I think it really just – it's kind of like basketball. You're shooting. You can't make a jump shot. You need a free throw. Well, the free throw was their field goals. They finally hit the jump shot, and then everything else started going in after that.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good pick. It felt like everything was going NC State's way on those first drives. There was also that looming thought of, oh, this high-powered UNC offense, you know, they could answer those two field goals with a touchdown, and, you know, they'd be winning. Like, the momentum could swing so fast. So once they got in, went up 13-0, I agree. That's when it started to feel like, oh, okay, this might not only be a win, but it might be a blowout as well. I'm picking UNC's second offensive drive because Amarian Hampton had his best run of the game on 1st and 10, the first play from scrimmage that drive. Rushed for 19 yards up to the 35, and it looked like, okay, here we go. This UNC offense, we know what it is. And then, you know, Peyton Wilson and Savion Jackson stuff another run. Jalen Scott records a quarterback hurry. There's a false start. And then Drake May scrambles, but then takes a big old hit from Devin Boykin, and Peyton Wilson, I believe, was in there as well, forcing a fumble that Jalen Scott recovered. So a lot of seniors making plays on that drive on senior day, which was always cool to see. And, you know, it set the tone. I'm sure it set the tone for Drake May as well. He knew that he was going to be able to pick up some yards when he scrambled, but he's going to take a big hit when he did. They sent a message with that play. And like I said earlier, I think they kept him off of his rhythm. It's not easy to throw that guy off of his rhythm. I think very highly of Drake as a quarterback, but he quite frankly missed a lot of throws. And I think that a lot of that was because of how much pressure NC State was getting. I think they got into his head a little bit. I like NC State's defense has done all year. I think they got into Drake May's head that early in the game. I think it started with that forced fumble, and that really set the tone for this contest. And I'm sure Devin Boykin and Peyton Wilson enjoyed the chance to get to hit the quarterback there. All right. Well, we're going to dive into, you know, our game balls and everything, and talk about our players of the game, some bowl talk, maybe some senior day talk in there too. But before we do so, I want to say a quick thank you to our sponsor, Game Time. Game Time is a ticket buying and selling marketplace. Whether you're looking for concerts, you know, I can't use the UNC game as an example, like I have any all season. But if you're looking for basketball games, hurricane tickets, literally whatever you want, bowl tickets, you can find it all on Game Time. I have an issue where I always wait till the last minute to buy tickets. No, it's a problem. I usually end up having to pay more than I want to for those tickets because of it. Game Time takes some of the hassle out of that. They have tickets right until the last minute. And when you go on their app or, you know, check out their website, you can see the exact view from your seat. So you can see exactly where you'd be sitting, the price. They give you the best deal at the top of the app and then the cheapest ticket. So whatever you're looking for, Game Time has it. If you go check it out, use code WOLFPACK. That's all caps WOLFPACK when you check out. You'll get $20 off. So it's a great deal. Go check it out. It's Game Time on any app store or gametime.co on your web browser. It's not .com. That's .co. All right, Noah, before we give out game balls, I want to talk senior day a little bit because, you know, there was 13 players that walked during senior day that will not be able to return. They're out of eligibility. But there's also a quite a few players who decided to walk that, you know, could come back, could go to the NFL draft, could just decide, you know, I'm done with college football. I'm looking through the list here right now, and you have, you know, the guys who exhausted their eligibility, like Savion Jackson, Peyton Wilson, guys like that. But then you get into the lower list, and it's I think the biggest surprise for me, Noah, I don't know if you'll agree, is Devin Boykin. He's a true junior, I believe. This is his fourth year because of the pandemic, but he decided to walk. You know, he's been huge for the Pack the past few weeks ever since he's gotten fully healthy. I think he's been you know, one of the better safeties in the ACC. Obviously had an interception and a forced fumble against UNC. It's just you know, it's guys, you know, like, you know, Anthony Belton, Shaheem Battle, you know, Aiden White, Timothy McKay, guys who could all come back where, you know, if they don't, it's going to be a lot of roles to fill for next year's Wolfpack team. But, you know, if they do come back, I mean, I think it says something about the team that you have so many guys that feel like, you know, they might want to test the NFL draft waters at the end of this year, because there is a lot of talent and, you know, just a lot of guys, walking during senior day that, you know, don't want to say unexpected, but it was just interesting to see the full list. Noah, are there any names that when you went through it that caught your eye that, you know, you wanted to point out from the senior day list?
I think it was mostly, you know, pretty straightforward when you think about the guys that still have eligibility left, for the most part. You know, like Aiden White, Shaheem Battle, guys that are going to probably see what the NFL has to offer, and then they might say, you know what, take one more year, come back and try again. I think, you know, Delbert Mims walking is interesting. He's got a year left. We'll see what happens there. You know, I think Dave Doran said he wanted to give the opportunity to anybody that could, right? And I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, giving them a chance to have that moment, you know, in the stadium. And he talked about on his radio show this week on, now, he doesn't remember a lot of the games from college football when he was playing, but he does remember senior day, every single second of it. And so he wanted to make it special for whoever wanted to walk. And these guys have degrees and things like that. So, you know, they deserve to have the opportunity. So I think that was good, you know, and I think that in another moment, you know, Brennan Armstrong, last time he had the crowd, all of its eyes on him inside Carter Finley Stadium, you know, he got booed on the field. He comes out during senior day, gets a big cheer, and then goes out and has the best game in NC State uniform. So I thought that was, you know, pretty cool. And Dave Doran wanted, I think, the crowd to be behind Brennan. They were. The team's been behind him, and it's helped, you know, especially in these last three games.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a cool ceremony for sure, just to see so many players with their families getting recognized for everything they've done with the Wolfpack. And, you know, speaking of some of those guys, let's give out some game balls, Noah. Every week we like to recognize just a couple players of the game, guys who stood out on the field. Noah, who would you like to give out your first game ball to?
I'm gonna go with the easy route here. We're gonna go Brennan Armstrong. Playing with, injury, not feeling 100%, when grimacing at times during the game, comes out throws for 300 yards, his most passing yards in a game in almost 2 years to the day. It'll be tomorrow when the 2 year anniversary of his 400 yards against Virginia Tech in 2021, and his illustrious 2021 season where he threw for over 4,000 yards in 1 year. He looked pretty close to it last night with 334 yards. No, again, third game in a row, no interception for him, which I think is a big growing point. People might not like look at it on the paper and be like, great, no interceptions. But he had six at the beginning of the year. He's settled in as a quarterback. He's not forcing anything. He's keeping the ball out of harm's way, and it's paying off. So I think he deserves it, not only for his performance against the Tar Heels, but I think his performance for these last 3 weeks and what he's been able to do.
Absolutely. My first one I'm going to give out is to Devin Boykin. I mentioned him a few minutes ago, but I really do think he's just been playing at a super, super high level, kind of anchoring the back of that defense. He's such a smart player. Like so many of his like turnovers and key tackles, it's just him like anticipating the play, getting right into the right spot exactly when he needs to be there. He is, I think, an underrated part of this defense who has just been really, really awesome so far this year. He had six tackles and then, of course, the interception and the forced fumble as well. But he's one of the quarterbacks of that defense. He's helping pull together this secondary. He's part of the reason why the secondary has made such a huge improvement as the season has gone on and to the point where they're playing at such an elite level right now. So I just wanted to recognize him on his senior day as well. If he comes back next year, I think he's someone that could have a all ACC type of year. I think he's that good. Noah, who else would you like to recognize, honor for the second to last time of this football season?
Go off the beaten path on this one and give it to a guy on his senior day, Keon Lassane. Five catches, 66 yards, long of 21. He's a guy who at the beginning of the year had some struggles with drops here and there, and it wasn't going well, but he made a lot of impressive catches against North Carolina, and it worked out. Five catches, second most on the team. This just comes a game after, nobody had more than two other than Kevin Concepcion. He comes out with five, Casey has seven. He really looked like a true number two receiver against the Tar Heels, which NC State hasn't had basically the entire year, but it was a good day to have it with him, and he stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, it's a good pick. And I mean, he's been the leader of that room all year, right? I'm sure Casey would tell you that he's probably a big reason why Casey's having that much success, just because he's someone that's been playing, he's played since he arrived on campus. He has the experience of, he can relate to pretty much anyone in that receiver room. So he's a huge leadership presence around this team. And it was cool to see him, get stuff going and show off that connection with Brennan throughout the game against the Tar Heels. My last game ball, I'm going to give it out to the offensive line just in totality. I thought, there's a lot of stars on UNC's defensive line, a lot of highly recruited players. And NC State bullied them Saturday night. NC State was blowing them off the ball, creating massive holes, getting a tremendous push. There were plays where the running back wouldn't necessarily get past the reset line of scrimmage, but it would still be like a 4 or 5 yard gain because the defense was pushing back, or the offensive line was pushing back UNC's defensive line so far. So just really, really impressive day for them. I think that's another unit where it's just been steady improvement as the year's gone on. And they gave up one sack. I believe that was in the fourth quarter. And then, six tackles for loss. It's about like average, I'd say, for this season. But when you're dropping back as much as you are and, taking the air out of the ball a little bit in the second half, that I'd say that's a pretty good number. Very good performance by the offensive line to step up and keep Brennan Armstrong, clean in the pocket in a game where he was obviously hurting some as well. So, hats off to them. Hats off to that unit. And it's also worth noting that three of those starters or did walk during senior day as well. Timothy McKay, Anthony Belton, and Dylan McMahon. All right. Well, let's talk bowl, Noah. Let's talk about a bowl game. NC State is 9-3, solidly third place in the ACC right now. Due to the loss to Louisville, they will not obviously be going to the ACC championship game. But you're in a position where if Florida State goes to the playoff, then there are some very good bowl games on the table for NC State against some very good opponents. What we're going to do here is kind of give out our favorite pick for a bowl game here, where we'd like to see NC State go bowling. And, you know, just to give you like a little bit of a preview, we've seen bowl predictions have been everywhere from New York to El Paso to San Diego to Orlando, just all over the country so far over the past few weeks as NC State has continued to win games. Their bowl profile continues to rise, obviously. So Noah, of all of the outlet connections, predictions you've seen online, ones you've made yourself, where would you like to see NC State go bowling this year?
I'm going to take the Fun Bowl. And by the Fun Bowl, I think the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Pop-Tarts Bowl, it's in Orlando, formerly the Cheez-It Bowl. I don't think you can go wrong with Pop-Tarts, as a breakfast item. And I don't think you can go wrong with a Pop-Tart Bowl. It's Orlando. It's a warm place. Maybe there'll be some Pop-Tarts everywhere. I mean, one can dream, right? I mean, I think that'll be fun. But no, in reality, I think the Pop-Tarts Bowl is a really, good pick for NC State. We'll see how it shakes out because it really depends if Florida State makes the CFP or not. Pop-Tarts Bowl becomes a lot more likely, I think, if Florida State doesn't make the CFP. Mm-hmm. If it does make the CFP, then there's a couple other bowls I think they could fall into. But the Pop-Tarts Bowl in Orlando, I think it'll be a fun time. It's, at the end of December, it's going to be warm. A warm bowl is always, I think, a good spot. When you're playing well, you're up in a warm bowl. I think that most teams will take it. I definitely think, the Pinstripe Bowl and the Fenway Bowl and the Military Bowl, I think, are out of the equation at this point, as NC State finishes third in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think I'd probably go ahead and scratch out the Mayo Bowl too, especially since they went last year. I think they'll be headed to a different bowl destination. Florida seems like the most likely spot, but Noah, let me paint you a picture. 2 years ago, 2021, NC State has 9 wins. They receive a bid to play in the Holiday Bowl in San Diego, California, before UCLA backs out. They cancel at the last minute because of COVID concerns, and NC State does not get the chance to get an elusive 10th win, which is a game that I'm sure still sticks in Dave Doran's mind about what could have been, because there was a lot of confidence around the program going into that game. They thought they were going to beat UCLA pretty handily in that game. It's time to go back. It is time, once again, with NC State, with a shot for 10 wins, it is time to go back to San Diego for the Holiday Bowl, playing in the baseball stadium down there, and have another exciting bowl game against an exciting Pac-12 opponent. It could be anyone from Oregon State, maybe even Oregon, depending on how their conference championship goes. So it'll be a good bowl, and I'm keeping an eye on it. I think that would be a big stage for the Wolfpack too. That's usually a primetime game, a pretty fun a fun one. And I'm sure for everyone that every player that experienced that first Holiday Bowl in 2021, I'm sure they'd love to go back and have a second chance at making program history as well. All right, Noah, for about the past month and a half, we've been wrapping up the show with just a general check-in on how we're feeling about the program, how we're feeling about this season. And, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty good about it. I think NC State's playing some dang good football. I expect for them to climb into the top 20 of the CFP poll this week. But, Noah, let's just get a little vibe check from you before we sign off here. How are you feeling about NC State's 2023 football season?
I think, you can call it the regular season. I think you can call it a successful year. 9-3, 5-game winning streak. Obviously, people had high expectations for this team coming to the year. Didn't start off the greatest at 4-3, but man, they finished, I think playing to the, that level that people had think they thought they could do at the beginning of the season, especially on offense. So I think that that's happening. But they rise. They could rise this week in the CFP poll, which I think is likely. And we're talking about bowls. There is an outside chance for a New Year's Six appearance in the Orange Bowl if Florida State makes a CFP and if Louisville falls past NC State over the next 2 weeks in the CFP rankings, which is possible. I mean, it is possible. Louisville was 10. They'll probably fall into the mid-teens. NC State's going to rise probably into the teens after this win over Carolina. They're going to be close, and we'll see which one happens. But I'm not going to hold my breath. But I think a trip to Miami, that would be fun too.
It's on the table, man. It's going to be interesting to see how the rankings shake up. Keep an eye on that. Before we sign off, just want to plug the wolfpacker.com one more time. I mean, right now it's half off the annual subscription for today and today only. And then we have another sale coming up, so keep an eye on that because silly season is here. Coaching carousel, the portal, signing day. It's the season might be starting to wind down, but the offseason is going to be just as interesting for the Wolfpack. And we're already putting out some scoops, some intel on the wolfpacker.com message board, so go check it out. It's only $1 for your first month or half off for your first year. All right. Thank you all for watching and listening, and thank you all for following along all regular season. We're not done yet. We'll be, you know, on your YouTube, on your podcast feeds often over the next month, recapping the big news from silly season and the bowl game. But thanks again, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.